Good morning again. Please greet somebody on your left and your right. Tell the person, God bless you. You are welcome to the teaching of the Word of God. If the person, the iron is shed, ask him why not. The Lord is good. It's important. You should iron your shed. Praise God. Now, as usual, let us open our Bibles for the declaring of the glory of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10 is the one we will do this morning. Always a beautiful one. I found that thing, you know, I found it about that very quote in the number of places in the scriptures. Jeremiah was quoting Psalms, actually. I found out. He was quoting from the book of Psalms. So you find it a number of places. But it's very beautiful. All right, one, two, let's go. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due, for among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Ophir, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God, is the living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now let's hear this again. He said, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. That's a matter of fact. No matter what religion or creed or thought or philosophy that men try to push, once they are not the ones that made the heaven and the earth, you want to hear the word of the Lord, they will perish. But each one has its time of judgment. It's when their judgment has not come that they appear strong. Don't worry. The time of their judgment will come. No matter what a stronghold they present against the advancement of the truth of Christ, the time of their judgment will come. And when it comes, they will perish. Many of us are too young to know when communism was strong. People don't know it now. Communism was strong. It was so strong that some people testified that they would enter those countries and they tried to preach the gospel. People don't even listen. You give them tracts. There's one particular one. They said they pack tracts. They will just forget the restaurant. Come back next day. It's there intact. Nobody mistakenly took one. Yeah, it was very strong. It was a principality. It held very, very strongly. The day it collapsed was overnight. It was overnight. One day there was communism. The next day there was no communism. The same people that were so resistant to the gospel were rushing to church. In the time of their judgment, they will perish. See, let me tell you again. Many of us would like to admire earthly things. Yeah, we're like that. Once you see Dubai, we lose spirit. Our knees will tremble. It is full of awe. You see, look at what the Arabs have done. Hear ye the word of the Lord. kiss the son, lest he be angry and you will perish out of the way. Every nation, every society that organizes itself against the knowledge of the Son, this is what the Spirit is saying. Desert thou art, to desert thou shalt return. I don't care what you built, I will turn it to rubble. You know, Solomon said that many things happened, but we are forgotten. The thing is, now people are building great buildings. You know why you don't know? They built them, God broke them to powder. The Bible says the very memory of them perished. There are cities now that are underwater, and God said nobody's diving down there. The water dissolved their buildings over time, corroded their metals. Their books melted in the water. There's no story about them. You want to hear the truth? Jesus is Lord. And he will be shown in every corner of this earth to be the Lord indeed. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for gathering us to impact your Spirit into us. Thank you for the opportunity to worship. We give you all the praise. Our hearts are open this morning, and we know you are going to pour yourself into us by these words. Thank you for the Spirit that is coming forth by the word we are going to hear. Our hearts are open, therefore we declare as follows. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. God is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. He's healing me in every area, and he's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. Let's take our seats, please. Let's get into today's teaching. All right, the Lord is good. Of course, as you know, I want to do a series between now and the plan is for the next 8 meetings on Saturdays like this. So we send the notice out to invite everyone. And it's titled The Servant of God. The focus, of course, as the flyer you saw, or you may have seen, displays, the focus is on walking on the course of destiny, yes. Living on the course of destiny. That is setting yourself on the path that God predestined for you. Setting your life appropriately on the path of divine destiny. I talk about that once in a while. A few years, I'll teach and I'll get back to it again. I don't think I've taught on this subject anything less than 6-7 times. I believe it's one of the things that God put in my heart for his children. And I must deliver it appropriately. Actually, what happened, what ignited this was a few weeks ago. I was informed of one brother. I know him peripherally, not too much. I've met him maybe once or twice. And they said he was sick and he was in hospital. And doctors felt he had a kind of one of these funny viral hemorrhagic fevers. And so they were treating. Then I asked after him, they said he'd been moving to intensive care. And of course, they were praying for him. And he was being given the best treatment available. I mean, I can say, everything they knew to do was being done. And then one day I saw somebody's status saying, "We love you, but Jesus loves you more." I say, wait. Even on my birthday, nobody says that. Nobody tells you that on your birthday. We love you, that's where they stop. Jesus loves you more. It doesn't come up unless this man has traveled. So I called. And I was told that, yes, indeed, he passed on the day before. And I felt terrible. I did. I felt very, very bad. Of course, they did everything that could be done, humanly speaking. And the church kept on praying. But at the end of the day, one way or the other, It pleased the Lord to take him away. But as soon as I finished, it's not somebody that was very close to me. I didn't know him more, but I know people that know him, and they were the ones I felt most terrible for. So while I was feeling bad, I wrote a message. I just said, no, whatever the length of life we live, no matter how short it might appear, what's most important is that everything God ordained is fulfilled. After all, John the Baptist was only about 30 when he died. Not because he did not know the revelation of staying alive. Please, let's get that clear. John the Baptist did not die because he knew how to stay alive. It's because he said, my assignment was to introduce the bridegroom. That's it. So, for him to increase, I must what? I must decrease. And you will notice that Jesus did not preach publicly until John had been taken into custody. So Jesus waited for John to be taken into custody. The voice of John had to be silenced before the voice of Jesus was heard. Jesus went for baptism. John baptized him. Jesus received the fullness of the Holy Spirit available. Then the disciples of John followed him because John introduced him to them. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And he had been telling them that he'll be coming. And that God told him that, he didn't know it was his cousin. Until Jesus showed up for baptism. And the Holy Spirit came. And he heard the voice. So he told them, behold, as Jesus walked away, he told them, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And then they all ran after him. And those ones continued the ministry of John. They were baptizing. Jesus became like a rabbi too, gathering disciples. He was not baptizing. His disciples were baptizing. They were just doing what they used to do with John. And then one day he heard that John had been taken into custody. As soon as he heard the news, he stood up and began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that was why John died. Not because he didn't know how to claim, have the revelation to stop the sword of Herod. Like one man said, my name is not John the Baptist. Herod, you can't have my head. And you make it look as if we know something John doesn't know or did not know. No, that's not what happened. What happened was that he lived his life out. As soon as he introduced Jesus, his ministry was over. Now, when your ministry is over, God decides how you go. There's a death that he says will glorify him. It's not your decision. It's his decision, purely. Do you get my point? In the case of John, the Lord decreed that he will go by being beheaded. Why? I don't know. But Paul himself said it. Either by living or by dying, what mattered to him was that God was glorified in his body. So God decided in the case of some of these people, that literally they will literally be poured forth as a drink offering. Their blood, the blood of the martyrs. He was counting them, the volume. How many of them had been so killed? If you read Revelation, you see that they are counted. They are counted. So sometimes God just wants to hasten some things. Say, this man, his job is done. This woman, the job is done. Add her to the blood of the martyrs. If you have died peacefully in the bed, God said, no, now. That would delete some things we want to do. I'm not teaching about that now. Neither do I fully understand it. It's just that I know it happens. It's not everything that just like, how can these people be wicked? It's God that will appoint, say, how much blood do we have here? He said, maybe 20 heavenly liters. I don't know how they count it. Say, what do we need? He say 100. For what? He knows what he does with it. All right? So no, the 100 heavenly liters must be accomplished before we can bring judgment against evil in this land and release a wave of revival. So, and some people are praying, Lord, hurry, hurry, hurry. God say, well, all right, no problem. All you intercessors, can I have two of you that will add to it? Yeah, you hasten their work, have them do this, do that rapidly, rapidly. They've broken out in certain areas of life, of ministry, accomplish some things for him. Say, it is enough. Add that one, Joy. He will now go and preach in one enclave where they say, don't mention the name of Jesus. One boldness will come upon him that even he can't understand. The family will tell her, don't go. He say, the Lord said I should go. It's the Lord that is pushing. We'll go there, start preaching, preaching, preaching. But say, let them hear. Nobody will be able to do anything. Maybe for a week, a month. Walk into a mosque and declare and walk away. Nobody does anything. After he or she has spoken loudly for some weeks, God say, all right, take that one. And some people will now have him or her arrested and have the person beheaded. And will be crying, hey. Leave those ones that are crying. They don't know what's going on. Ask the angel, how many do you have? And I say, 25. We are going to 100. Good. Now, go down to Enugu. Move like 10 of them to get a spirit of apostleship. And then come over here and come and preach. We are killing all of them. How does he do it? What did I tell you earlier? I don't know. Why does he want to measure it? I don't know. But he does it. Clear from scripture. He does it. They will be patient. He said, how long before you avenge our blood? They said. And they said, they should wait for a while until the certain number has been killed, like they were killed. Because sometimes God will say, see, this generation has to go. They will never hear the gospel. They have to provoke my anger. So it's counting, it's counting. They go to jail, it counts. Jail counts. Unfair imprisonment counts. It's not just to be literally beheaded. He counts many things. Then one day, he says the judgment has come. You know, many of the things you read in the news, it's God that said, judgment has come. That same year, you just hear that some people just arm themselves. 10,000 people came from somewhere and fight, communal started fight, fight started. And that's it. They wiped out everybody in that area. Of course, it won't be literally every single person. A remnant will be left there. Then everybody remaining will now cry to the Lord. Help us. Have mercy. So where did those people that they killed, can you send me two of their children as evangelists? Those will now come and preach the gospel and say, in this land, my father was killed for Jesus Christ. And all of them will say, we are sorry. He's our father's. But we are sorry. Next thing you know, 40 years later, everybody is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole land is flourishing. Revival has taken over the whole place. Many of us will forget the blood of the martyrs that was shed. We forget the blood. But that's how he does it. But the point I'm making is this. While we have life, there are things that he ordained. It's not the length of life that's primary to him. It's the fulfillment of everything that he ordained for that life. Did you hear what I said? It's the fulfillment of everything that was ordained. It's not the length. It's the fulfillment of everything. And I'm talking about the servants of God. All right. There's a reason why I chose that caption. I want to start by explaining something about being a servant of God again. Because many times, you know, you just have to keep correcting these things. People think that sonship is a... Now, listen, let me not say it's not a huge, big thing. Sonship is a big thing. To be a son of God is a huge thing. When God was going to deliver Israel out of Egypt, he went there and said, Israel is my son. He's my firstborn. Let my son go. That he may what? That he may do what? Serve me. Freedom is not for the sake of freedom. Freedom is so that you can serve. And let me say something that's unique about sonship. There are so many things about sonship, but there's something I want to bring out. One thing that marks out sons is the quality of their service. Nobody serves like a true son. It's not possible. You don't have the capacity. There's a level of service that only true sons can give. There's a level of service that only true sons can give. And that is what is important about being a son. We brag a lot about we are sons of God, and indeed we are. Beloved, now are we children of God, John said. That is what we are. But read your scriptures, the same John saying it never called himself a son of God. We are children of God, though. But when he wants to introduce himself, Paul, Peter, all of those guys, they used to introduce themselves as what? Slaves, servants, or bond servants, or bond slaves. Different words. But you see, in the concept of bond slaves, or bond servants, there's something about it you have to understand. This person had the choice to go free. Bond servanthood or bond slavery, if I may use that expression, is a choice of the slave. He's a person, she's a person that deliberately donated himself or herself to the master to be bound to him for life. It's a free choice. And there's something God said about it. He said, that bond servant, he said, he gives, we'll read the scriptures later, he gives twice as much service as a hired one. God told the people of Israel, he said, if one of your kinsmen, one of your fellow Israelites is sold to you as a slave, you will let him go after he has served for 6 years. Then as if he doesn't want to go, drill a hole in his ear, put a ring there, and then he's bound to you for life. He can't go again. It's a type for us. That's what it means to be a Christian. You enter into God's service and there's no way out. If you ever step out, you are condemned eternally. There's no way out. Paul warned about it. He said, you can't renew such people unto repentance. So it's a type. But there's something he said, which I'm going to. He said, if you are going to let him go, he said, don't feel bad. He said, because he has given you double the service of a hired servant. Now, did you hear what I said? I read that thing and it struck me. That you hire a servant, he serves you for a few hours a day and he goes. But if it's a slave that belongs to you, the service is counted as what? Double. Why? Because the fellow is in the house all the time. Then it dawned on me that when the fellow is a slave, is a son, the service is more than double. And read your scriptures, the concept of being a son is not about privileges. It's about the ability to serve to the extreme. I read my Bible, 2 important parables. Let me just refer to them. Have I read my opening scripture? I have not. Okay. We'll read these parables in a moment. But you see, Jesus, he told 2 parables. I wanted to open them, but let me read my opening scripture. So let me quickly say something about that. He said, a man had 2 sons. Talking about prodigal sons again. He said, a man had 2 sons. Once he's talking about 2 sons, it means just one thing. You're either one or the other. Every child of God must make up his or her mind. What am I going to be? Am I going to be like the first son, or am I going to be like the second one? Like I said to you, being a born servant is what? A choice. You make it deliberately. You will say, I want to be bound to the Lord. And once you have made that, choice, there's no turning back. So if you look back, my soul will have no pleasure in you. And one major problem we have is people who are not fully committed to the Lord. And you see something as I go on. And they want to claim the promises. The promises of God are claimed by... Now, funny thing is, we can say they are claimed by faith. But I'll say it another way. They are triggered by the faithfulness of servants. You say, is it not faith? I'll show something in a moment. The word faith and faithfulness, they are the same. So,
The faith that triggers God's promises is the faithfulness of servants, not stubbornness of heart. Did you hear what I said? The faith that triggers God's promises is not how stubborn you are concerning what you want to get, but how faithful you have become as a servant. Servants are good. Sons are better. But the ideal son is a son that serves. Sometimes people get, you know, they go away from this. You know, I told you that once, Pastor Kimothy was preaching on radio, and it was really the fact that we are servants of God. And you know, half knowledge is bad, though. Half knowledge is not good. It's not good at all. Christians, they learn some things. And we have sons of God. They were calling in to quote scripture for him. So he called me and said, Pastor, please, I think you should come and settle this quarrel. Sometimes when I get on radio, my wife will tell me, say, hey, now fight. I said, yes, now fight. Isn't it? Remember one day I came, I said, please don't call with any nonsense comment. I want everybody ahead. Now everybody maintain. Don't be sowing seeds of doubt in the hearts of people. They said, no, we are sons, we are not servants. I said, the problem is that you don't understand that they are not mutually exclusive roles. A true son is the one that serves. And you see your scripture from Jesus Christ to the disciples, the apostles. One thing that marked them out was, though they had rights, they characteristically laid them down. Though he was a son. What did he tell you? Yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He was obedient to the point of death. So let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He was obedient to the point of death. He had rights, he laid them down. Paul said, yes, we have rights. Yesterday we were discussing here about what it means to be poor in spirit. We're looking at the Beatitudes. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It doesn't mean to be broke. It doesn't mean to have nothing. It means to have everything, yet live like you had nothing. It's to have an attitude of, I don't have. Now, not because you don't want to give now, but like, I have plenty. But for that reason, I won't jump the queue. Just because I'm richer than everybody else on the queue. If we are supposed to queue, I came late, I wait on the queue. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Things you could have used as for your own benefit, you refuse to. And that's something that marks out servants of God. Now, back to that incident that the one pastor came to us. He was explaining this to people. They said, no, we are sons, we are sons. He said, hey, guys, relax. If you're a son and you're not serving, you're a prodigal son. Let's use the right word. You're a useless son. So sons don't brag on their sonship rights. They brag on, in quotes, brag now in quotes, on their identification with the father so much that they will serve him to the point of death. A servant will pull back when it comes to death matter. Okay, we don't serve you rich. We have served you enough. But the son has nowhere else to go. That's why he serves to the end. A son that thinks that being a son is a matter of privileges will take his inheritance and go out. And will not stick with the father till the end. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The brother came to the father, all these days I have what? Served you. That's what sons are supposed to do. That's why his life was never prodigal. Many people have preached messages about him. About the elder brother's spirit. I said, well, you go on your own. I'm not joining that message. Let's get this right. There are a few lessons inside there. The focus was not the elder brother there. There's a little bit about it. Okay, I just mentioned something about it. The focus was the brother that repented and the father that was full of mercy. Don't come and start criticizing the elder brother. Some people have the elder brother's spirit. Elder brother spirit cannot see somebody else to be blessed. That's nonsense. I'm sorry. The elder brother was marveled. I mean, if it was you, Ngo. You are just an elder brother. You're not the father. Oh, look, there's nothing wrong with that guy. He was just a normal guy. Your brother came, collected his portion and left. They came back to share your portion that's remaining. What? Let's not forget it. What is important about that sonship is that we are so attached to the house that we serve till the end. Anybody bragging on sonship and not focusing on service is going to have a prodigal life. Now, let me explain it again. See, life, read my little book. If you haven't, please go and read it. I think we have a few copies there. Someone is controlling you. Is it there? Okay, please, if anybody's coming for the first time today, let that be one of the gifts that you give to them. Is that okay? In the book, someone is controlling your well, for those who are not here with us, you can download this on our website. Just go there, pastor.ng. Go to the book section. In that book, someone is controlling you. I explain that what you do, the actions you take are not decided that time. Like now, whether you waste your money in bad investments or not, it's not decided at the time of the bad investment or good investment. It's decided before then. For example, now, if you do not get into the serving son spirit, you have taken of the prodigal son spirit, you will make bad investments. You see, there's nobody wise enough on this earth to deliver you. If you like, go to all the seminars on this earth on how to make good investments. You will still make a bad one. The simple reason is because you've taken of the prodigal spirit. That spirit moves you. It must waste your resources. It's in control. You are not. Please go and read the book. Someone is controlling you. Where you will go is not decided by where you want to go. It's decided by some decisions you took earlier, some dedications you made or refused to make, some words you refused to accept, some words you listened to. All those things go into your heart and they move you. See, you must understand the world out there is not a neutral place. It's not an empty stage you go to play. There are good spirits there that God sent to help you. And there are evil spirits that have a plan to divert you. Make sure you don't get to where God wants to get to. It's a plan. It's a strategy. See, it's not a game of, it's not a game of chance. They want you to go astray. And you cannot defend yourself against them except by the power of God. These guys are too smart. Only God. So, when I say that, people think that you just go, if you're smart, you'll never make a bad investment. You don't understand, bad investment is a spiritual thing. It's not economics. It's not business studies. It's not finance. It's spiritual. The spirit will go out in the morning, go and collect his money. And then they will make sure that it's a good investment you made. Then they will make it bad. Most bad investments people made were good. At the beginning, it became bad along the line. And many things you think people did and they're good investments, they were rubbish investments, absolutely nonsense investments. That God said, bless it anyway. That's why, this small aside, Christians said, be very careful. Don't be running, like somebody said, if you go to a minister's conference, business books sell more than other things. There was a time the thing was in the... Has it died down now? I don't know. Okay, it's not right. He only knows all these things. There was a time that all pastors did was teach business. The others had 10 keys, 10 principles. One day, one man did something like 20 principles of money. No, okay, it's P. Okay, 20 principles of prosperity. Went and gathered the tapes. Started listening. I think I managed to go to two or three. I tried a few of the other ones. And realized that this man is not your fault. You know, when God has blessed you, you have a right to talk nonsense. You know that? Yeah, you'll be talking rubbish. Like now. You know that famous Nigerian guy? Infamous, more like, so let me use the proper English word. That infamous Nigerian young man, I think he's still in prison. Have they released him? That was going around teaching, giving TED Talks on how to invest in oil, in real estate, and all of that, you know? And people were following them. Following them, following him, and people like him. And he made it to the Forbes Africa. 30 under 30. Later on, we found out that the boy is a thief. So he will steal $10 million. Invest it and tell you how to grow your own investment from zero. And young people were following them. Some of you young people, you need to get off social media. They are lying to you too much. Just go to school. Then go and get a job. I don't care how low the job is. Just make sure you have to be there latest by 9 every day. And you can't close before 5. Yeah. No, young people, I'm begging you. See, I know what I'm telling you. I don't care how low they are paying. Just go and get a job where you must be at work, preferably 8 o'clock, but nothing later than 9. And if you're starting by 9, please don't agree to close before 5. If you want to close by 4, start at 8. Let them pay you rubbish money. As long as they demand that you come to work every day, your time, Neku. Then do the work at least 5 days a week. Then the rest of the evenings, go to church at least 3 times a week. And in that church work, join wire, clean chair, learn how to broadcast. Just do something and be in church 3 times a week. Not 2 times. So if the church is only 2 services, find a third one in another church. And please, early morning prayer meeting that you join online, I allow you only 1 in 2 weeks. If you do every morning, your destiny will never manifest. I know what I'm telling you. If curiosity wants to finish you, go 1 in 2 weeks. You pray your own prayer. Don't just be shouting amen, amen, amen. You won't go far like that. Use your own words.
Yes.
Manufacture your own soup of scriptures.
Yes.
It's not, you won't live by prophecy, you live by obedience to the written word.
Yes.
Don't say I didn't warn you this morning, no. Some of you are spiritual junkies, you know, addicts. They don't give you a fix. Something, you know, your head no go work during the day. Anyway, let me talk about how to align your life as a young person. Get the job. And not a job for 6 months. You must be there for a while. Until your body has been trained with discipline.
Yes, sir.
Until without alarm clock, your body, you somehow you wake up in the bathroom. You don't even know you've woken up. You just see yourself, water is falling on your body. That is... You thought you were still sleeping. Then you saw soap. Ah, where did soap come from? You woke up. Before you woke up, your body had gone to the bathroom. Was already having a bath. So that hard work is not a matter of struggle for you. Don't change that job for one that pays better. Don't. Only leave it if it looks like there's nothing to do. One young man walked up to my wife the other day. My wife said, please, can you interview him for me? He said he came to town. He was supposed to supervise a project. He said, I hate being idle. The work is not much. So they lodged him in a hotel. So he just looked around for any signboard of any secondary school. Whether he can teach. My wife said, like, how much? Like, he said, no, I don't want any pay. She begged him. He said, no. I just hate being idle. And I noticed something. On certain days, he rushes off to church. He's new in town. As soon as he don't locate church, he will trek from there to one church around this tunnel here. He's already going to church. And he dresses well. His clothes are always well ironed. I've told of you don't iron your clothes. If I catch you. And my wife said something there. Normally, because of their style is very different, so it takes some time for people to get used to the style. This guy got used to the style in like 3 days. He said that, look, he's not going to stay long. Just that, look, his project is so and so place. That he's just supposed to supervise something, so the work is not much. He said, doesn't like just sitting in the hotel. So he come out in the morning, work hard. If you see him working, let's pay you now. He said, no. He doesn't want money. He just hates being idle. And if you see his CV, my wife was looking like, where do you find people? In that short period, he turned out to be one of the best workers she has ever had in life. Wow. That's kind of. Before you ask something, I've done it. He has done it. You mention something, he follows you until he learns how to do it. I said that, no, that doesn't want more. Just hates being idle. There are people who want more. They won't move leg until you show them how much leg movement is. Until you show them how much that movement of leg will be. I've been warning young people, get off social media. You know, the other day, I saw a clip. I've seen that from other business before. They said most millionaires, 99% made it at the age of 60. The one I saw, professional, was explaining it. That most people, they don't make what you call make it until they are in their 50s. That even Steve Jobs, you are making noise about, go and check how old he was when he finally made the iPhone. The Mark Zuckerbergs are the exception. They are so rare. They're not worth looking at. They go and tell you that if you learn how to code, by the time you're 25, you write a code that will change the world. They told that to 50 million people. They are there trying to change the world. How many 50 million changes are we going to have? Don't fool yourself. Some say, oh, no, I have a gift. You know, say, you are the one that thinks you can sing. The rest of us don't think so. Have you noticed that your voice sounds different? To let them record your voice and play it for you when you don't know it's you. You know, anytime I'm singing to myself, you get my point? I'm like, man, come on, Pastor Mikey, you, man, you're damn good, man. You know why? Because bone conduction is different from air conduction. Go and ask the people who know anatomy and physiology. One is moving from your throat through your bones straight to your brain. just straight to your ossicles. It sounds different. You know when I know, say, I not get hope for that regard? It's when I now listen to a recording. I said, who is that? They said, are you? I said, thank God I was called to preach. When I think of people like Nathan, I never see messaging, they could just sing nonstop. I say, If I try that, my throat will swell. My job is, I can preach from morning till night. Where I'm going is that some of you just think that why you think you can sing is because you saw messaging fighting over $350,000. And you are wondering, that's the one you are fighting. What about the one you didn't fight over? Do you get my point? You know, she and her manager, they are calling over, remitting $350,000 that this Spotify paid them, somebody streaming money, sha. People say, wait, you are fighting over $350,000. What about the one you didn't fight over? How much is it? One day somebody estimated that Spotify paid one of these our boys, let me not mention the name, tens of millions of dollars. When they calculated how much this Benny boy, that's why many people think they can sing. That's why they think they can sing. It's not really singing, it's more of, this is the easy way to make it. Instead of them to now go and work, they're in the studio, wax an album, and then to deceive them. Self-editing, publishing, everything is not easy these days. In fact, when we are not looking, they'll go and meet, you can even go and meet our junior Israel. You know, he has a studio downstairs. So now, I feel quickly wax something for here. They are not called to singing. Now greed, they worry you. It's greed. Anything that's making money, you are called there. Let me tell you, leave that thing. Stop singing. For now. Go and walk. If you really are singing, when you're under the car, watching the car from below, we'll be hearing the song. If you really can sing, when you're helping somebody wash clothes, we'll hear it. If you really can sing, I keep on telling you, look, listen, there's no quick money anywhere. In fact, I command you again on behalf of God, you must hate quick money. Say, this one is quick. Say, I don't want. Say, take, it's free. Say, I don't want. Say, why? It's quick. My spirit says, don't want it because it is quick. It's very important. Because young people are being misled every day. You see most of those who... I remember when Hush Puppy was showing... I said, look. In Nigeria of today, physically, the richest man we know is Aliko Dangote. Have you ever seen him buy a car and show it on social media? Have you ever seen him buy a car and show it on social media? If you buy a car and you are putting it on social media, honestly, you have a mental problem. Say, I don't care who you are. I've told you your problem now. You didn't know until I told you. And when you're a pastor, you should be kicked out. Look, they should treat you like a pastor that committed adultery. We should put you on suspension. What kind of rubbish is that? Why are you misleading young people? Is that a sign of success in ministry? You have a car, drive it. We don't want to see photo. And let me tell you, all of you, listen to me. Some of you love me very well. And I want to warn you. If God gives you money one day, say, I'll go and buy the kind of car I like, maybe like, I won't give it to you, so you can go and buy it now. Let me then tell you. But okay, let me tell you one I don't like, so that if you buy it, you're on your own, okay? Maybe go and buy a Lamborghini, very good. I ain't going to drive it, okay? So, as an example. So I say, ah, Pastor has been a blessing. God has blessed me. I want to bless him. If you take a photo of it on social media, I promise God, I'll give it back to you. You know, you are going to give me, you come at night, Nicodemusly. Park it in my car when the lights are off. It's true now. Don't put me on social media. If you try it, as you snap, and I just say, hey, you now see me and you. You now put us on TikTok. I will take another TikTok video of when I park it in your house. I know what I'm telling you. Look, young people, calm your head down. Let me say it again. There is nothing wrong with being broke when you are young. In fact, it's a good thing. It's beautiful. One day I was going home, very funny. My wife and I were inside my car, were driving, we were wound up, AC was on. Then I saw one young man walking, sweating heavily down the street. So my wife said, ah, that's Akiolu. I said, he looks like him. He said, won't you stop to carry him? I said, why? Ah, he was coming from school. The guy, you could see, ah, I told my wife, he's almost home now. He said, ah, my husband, stop now. I said, sweetheart, let him sweat now. I mean, what is the big deal? Ah, she said, oh, God, baby, stop. And I stopped reluctantly. Yeah, enter. The guy, oh God, I could see the suffering. I was like, why don't you want to carry him? I said, let him. I said, you see, this is the time to trek. It's a time for heat, to rearrange your brain. You know, if your brain is too cool when you are young, you never think properly. You won't. You need to warm up, you know, increase temperature, increase activity. And I've told you young women, if a hard-working man like that chasing you, respect him more. I'm not saying you must marry him by force, but respect him. If they say you must marry immediately, marry that one. Don't marry the one that takes his father's car and drives coolly and carries to go and eat expensive ice cream. See, that is the coldest thing you'll ever see in your life, if you marry that guy. The car is not his own.
He took that card he's using. Go and check it. His mother is looking for it at home. That card, you're buying things, just giving them hands. Just take the card. And you are chopping away. You are licking away your destiny. You don't understand it. When he goes back home, his mother is looking for that card. The mother is getting alert. And she's freaking out. She's freaking out at home. Oh, let me just preach my message, yo. I hope I'm helping your young people. Get on social media. There's no need. The lie there is too much. That time, Hush Puppy was saying, everybody, one Nigerian journalist was there, you know. He was abusing the rest of Nigerians. And I felt like, are you so inexperienced about life that you don't understand that nobody who works hard to make money behaves like this? You don't need to know what he does. It's clear. Somebody just carry $100, go party, they spray him. That fellow is not honest. Honest people have too much respect for resources for that. I don't need to know what you do. I just see the way you spend money. I know because, you see, I won't mention it. There's one particular Nigerian businessman, very big, very, very big, very big. I won't mention his name at all. Those who know, we have spoken on close quarters about it. After that, that guy is a money launderer. He's big, very rich. I said, but listen, he launders money. Did I catch him laundering money? No, I never did. Those who are close to him, they've told me how he does business. I said, nobody does business that becomes this big like this. Nobody. I said, nobody. I said, leave this guy. He launders money. I said, he didn't build this wealth the normal way. This is not even divine favor, the way you and I talk about favor. So this is pure money laundering. Young people, relax. Back to the advice I was giving. Go and get that your job. That nonsense job. Like Americans will say, that shitty job. Get it. To rearrange your brain. I keep on telling the story of Tunde Bakare. His brother will come to him and say, just because our father died early, because he doesn't have money, he come to his younger brother, half-brother. Same father, different mothers. And you help me. That will help him. He said, this is our father's death. He didn't help me at all. Look at him, I'm suffering now. That man said, we just keep quiet, they look out. He said, one fact was not obvious to him, just obvious to the rest of us. That two of you, your fathers died. Because it's the same man. And you had longer with this father than this your younger half-brother. And he is not giving the father's death as an excuse. He couldn't. Because somewhere along the line, God had helped him. Tunde Bakare said he came to Lagos. Of course, he didn't have money, didn't have anybody. He had to leave. He had to go to school. So what did they used to do? He used to go from house to house washing their clothes. So he just arranged himself, I wash your clothes. He goes different days, different homes. He will wash clothes here, wash clothes there. By the time he's done with the third house, the clothes in the first house are dry. He goes back to iron them. And the day he was saying it, he dragged one of the deaconesses in the church out. He dragged her, said, was I not washing clothes for you and your husband? Now, the woman is the deaconess in the church where he's a pastor. On the natural plane, I assume at that time, of course, forget influence. She was more influential than she was at that time. But I suspect financially, he had much more money than she and her husband. They are now deaconesses in the church where he's a pastor. And they are still friends. He used to be their washer boy. So he said, that's why Tunde Bakare, if you come to him after church, he never gives anybody any dime. He said, please, I don't know, I'll go back home. So how did you come? You trek back. And he walks away. And you can understand his mentality. He doesn't understand what your problem is. They come after church, say, oh God, you know, they start telling stories. The man just walks away and leaves you there. You young man, you are telling me stories. You don't have transport fare, so? Get to that car wash. Wash two cars. You have money to go around Lagos. If these are men, they will appear hard. That's the reason why he appears hard. Because he's looking at you like, when I was your age, I knew what I used to do. You find it easier now to be telling stories and begging. Young man, please. I'm not talking about money now.
Just go and train yourself to be responsible. That's what I'm saying. Train yourself to be responsible. Until, like I said humorously earlier, you wake up in the morning and realize that you're already in the bathroom. You don't even know when you got there. Your body is so trained to rising on time. And anything they give you to do, do it well. Stop being a master of excuses. Everything you can do, you have to. It's never your fault, though. It's the country. It's the country. Why is this line not straight? Does Nigeria look straight to you? That's why you can't draw a straight line. You saw, get everything for this country, don't war. Is that why your line is not straight? You are a mason. You are laying blocks. You can't lay straight block. Why? Because Nigeria is not straight again. Please, somebody rescue me. How did I get there? Honestly, no, I don't know. Okay. Aha, yeah. This Joseph is anointed. Don't remind me. So I was saying something. So don't think you are wise. That you can make wise investments because you study how to make money. Hey, again, please. Let me go back there. Young guys. Young people, listen to me well. God has not ordained you for quick money. You won't find it. I saw one joke yesterday. I had to share with brother. I laughed. Very funny joke. One man was in a restaurant. Yeah. Then some people got up to leave. And they left their phone behind. So he picked the phone and said, hey, who got this? He wanted to shout after them. Please, somebody left his phone. Then Satan just showed up behind him. Say, now what for you? Now everything you go return. Say, this no be thief, fool. This is lost but found. It's not here you are sitting down. It's called correct positioning. It says in the Bible like that. You quoted one off scripture. He said, God, you'll be praying for blessing. God wants to bless you now. You want to return the phone. Even if you don't need the phone now, can't you keep it? He kept on talking. That guy reasoned and finally put it in his pocket. He said, correct guy, sharp guy. So that guy said to him, suddenly one of those guys came back and said, please, who sees DPO phone? He said, I beg. I feel like DPO leaves me phone for here. That guy, so the same Satan now came back to the guy and said, hey. So that guy said, please, everybody relax, let me call the phone. That guy now whispered, Satan now whispered to him, say, and this phone will enter silent too. You know where I'm going with the gist? The guy who did the skit is a comedian. He dressed like Satan. He now laughed. Said, for more bad advice, follow me. That's why I'm going with the gist. See, all the sharp way to make it quick is bad advice. And Satan knows. The guy said, for more bad advice, follow me. Satan knows his bad advice. You can't make money in a hurry. It's not necessary. It's vanity you're pursuing. Why I went into that? It's like you reminded me. That spirit of the prodigal son. It's not an idle. It's not a game of chance. It's a deliberate orchestration by evil minds to ruin your destiny. So you cannot have a prodigal heart and think you make good investments. You can't. Go and read that book I recommended. Someone is controlling you. If you want to succeed in life, you must be a serving son. Christians don't have any other choice. Let me tell you the kind of trap we are in as believers. We have entered into it, we can't come out. All right? It's like you leave Egypt. You must enter the promised land. Otherwise, you die in the wilderness. God does not allow you to return to Egypt. If your heart returns to Egypt, you are punished in the wilderness. Not your body, just your heart. If just in your heart you return to Egypt, the plagues of Egypt to come and meet you in the wilderness. Your body has not gone back home. It's just your heart. See, it is better you endure till the end and you are saved than to try to escape and go back to Egypt. Don't even want it. If they say express train, you'll be back in Egypt in the next 24 hours. It's not going to take us the 3 weeks we used to get here. Tell them, I'm not entering that train. Because if you enter that train, it's going into the Red Sea. That's what Christianity is. We have stepped into Christ. The only way to progress in Christ is to drink of the seven spirit. We cannot afford to have a prodigal life. We can't. We are called to serve God. The blessings of God, they are added. They are side effects. They are things added to our service of God. I said I was going to read the main scripture, right? Isaiah chapter 54. Please beware of the Christianity that puts your reward in this life. Beware. Beware of the teachings that put your reward in this life. Beware. Please. Like Pastor Jackson was telling us yesterday, for those of you who are the program, God bless you. I pray that the rest of us can, you know, catch up with the program this morning. He was explaining some things about why people serve God. You serve now, serve so that your open door will come for you. That's a false reason. He was explaining to us, and I want you to bear it in mind. Forget those doctrines that make it look like this life is where your reward is. You serve God now when you are young, you'll be rich when you are old. Forget that thing. See, this is how it is with Christianity. You serve God now, you will serve Him more later. And you shall serve Him yet more. And you will serve Him all the days of your life. And the day you are done serving Him, He will take you away from this earth. His reward is not here. Please, be careful. You know, sometimes we preachers, without realizing it, we mislead people. You want them to give, you make it look like if they give now, they will get shortly. So the man who doesn't have a car should give his bicycle. And the bicycle will become a car. And the one that has a car, if he gives his car, it might become an aeroplane. And if he has a plane, if he can give it, you'll get him a big boat, like a ship, crossing the Atlantic and Pacific. And if he can give his ship, maybe you give him a planet. Maybe Elon Musk is going to Mars now. You will follow him. So that what we are doing is that our reward, we are being trained unconsciously that our reward is on this earth. Please, I have nobody I'm trying to criticize. I'm just warning you that it's a false doctrine. It's inaccurate. It won't help you. When a preacher comes and tells you, you are going to sow a seed that within 3 weeks, God is going to multiply it for you, don't answer him. See, I know nobody likes me when I say it. But from people like you, who don't have any work this morning, I decided to be listening to me. If they remove people like you, most people don't like you when I say it. Both the giver and the collector. Because the giver feels like you are telling him that all the money he has been giving has lost it. Whether I tell you or not, you lost it. Telling you is delivering you. As for you trying to collect, you are the collector. That's why the doctrine is reasonable to you. There is no rule on this earth. God has not allowed it that you give an offering today to produce for you tomorrow. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. I'm sorry to say it. When we preachers come and preach it to you, it's pure scam. Sometimes we don't know. Our brains have been thoroughly scammed up. Anybody comes and say, once you give, within a year, God is a scam. If you like, don't believe me. You've gotten nothing, you know. Because serving God doesn't work like that. Serving God doesn't work like that. Christians are promoted for faithfulness so that they have a bigger opportunity to be faithful. Did you hear what I said? When God finds you faithful in little, He puts you in charge of much. If indeed you were to give 1 million and then God gave you 100 million, it means I want you to give 100 million. It's not because this is the reward for giving 1 million. No. You don't invest in God like that, too. That's not how you do it. If you want to serve God, you serve Him with contentment. You know the meaning of contentment? Let me tell you what it means. It means if I have 500,000 naira, and I was planning to use it to do some things for myself. Okay, let us assume. Okay, let's assume them. Okay, let's go to a bigger amount. I have 5 million. There's a small car somebody wants to sell to me. Right now, I don't have a car. I have to go with public transport, take care here, and I take buses and occasionally use Uber. Then I have 5 million and I want to buy a car. And I go to church or I go somewhere and a need is presented to me that requires me to give. Oh, God now prompts. I say, oh boy, this whole assembly, they are suffering because of 2 million naira and you have 5 million in your pocket. And God said, that's why I brought it today. Help them. If you give them this 2 million naira, they won't suffer anymore. The roof over this building will be put in place. Now, what does it mean to give with contentment? It means to be content with not buying the car and trekking for another 1 year or two. That's what it means. It means what you give is not 2 million. What you give is that now I have to trek and use public transportation for longer. I've given up my comfort. It is not an investment. It is a sacrifice. Listen to me. If one day after that you're inside a keke or inside a bus, and maybe conductor says, oh boy, shift. Say, Lord, remember me. Oh, I'm supposed to have a car. Oh, I gave you 2 million. Oh, you have lost all the reward attached to that thing. That day you uttered that nonsense statement. Your joy should be, you go back to that church next time, at the back of a motorcycle, somebody gave you a lift, and you get there, you see that the whole place has been roofed, and they now have a comfortable place to worship. And then you smile and say, Lord, I would have been alone in that car enjoying it, but at least now, 200 people are worshiping in peace. Lord, thank you for the privilege. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Next time you enter into a commercial vehicle and it's a bit rough, say, at least, Lord, I know it's rough, but 200 of my brethren gather at least 2-3 times a week because of this. Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, by the way, that money still remains 1 million. No? Is there another group that needs it? Suddenly you are taking joy in serving. People are taking joy in the hope of return. That is not Christianity. Godliness with contentment. It means that, listen, I have done it, that's all. Does it please the Father? Not that I go to Him now and say, Lord, your children, dad, they have a roof. Why? You're not going to give me a roof too. God will give you a backhand slap. You won't know why your jaw is always aching. It's the backhand slap from the Lord. Rubbish doctrine where we preach all over the place and we think it's Christianity. We are turning people to worldly-minded people, people who want their rewards on this earth. You want to hear the truth? Your reward is not on this earth. I don't care the covenant you made with God. I will give Him, you'll do this. God didn't accept you. You are the one singing to yourself. If you want something from the Lord, Jesus has said it, James said it, and I'm saying it again because the Lord said it. What do? You ask. You ask. We see the Joseph so. They are born into prison. Is that seed time? Offering time? Blessing? Look, we are being sold here. I'm the seed. Do you get my point? My brethren sold me as a seed. I'm not the seed. I couldn't give. I was given. I was stolen. I was kidnapped. I was sold into slavery. Everything I did in the house of Potiphar, I was supposed to do because he paid my brothers. He paid those who bought me from my brothers. He bought a slave. When I ended up in prison, I had to work. There was no seed there, so to speak. There was divine appointment. And as long as he walked in righteousness, he walked into that appointment. As long as he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, he eventually got there. And that was what God ordained for him to do. Please, let's stop. I don't know. People will still be preaching this thing. And Christians are getting frustrated every day. They don't know why. If you give money and you're not happy until it returns a multiplication, you know, for you, you will be depressed. Hope will be deferred. Your heart will faint. Your satisfaction, your full completion of the deal is the day you gave your offering. Leave it there. God will multiply. Because I'm not multiplying it back for you at all. Like I keep on saying, why do you want your reward on the earth? Why? Because anything God rewards on the earth, he won't reward in heaven. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. He said it. If you do something and men praise you, you have your reward already. You can't have it both ways. If God comes to me and says, Bank, you know, you give this amount of money. I say, yes, Lord, you know, it's your money, but we have to give it. Say, so, no, let me now multiply it back for you. I will tell him, don't bother. I'm being honest with you. I will tell him not to bother. He said, why would you tell him that? I will say, Lord, you want to give me my reward here? No. You have money. Let's spend your money. Keep my reward for me until the last day. Now, so person go enter heaven, not in the... I will not use my eternal reward to buy a Lamborghini. Lie. I must hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Leave it to that time. Okay, what will we now do? You are my father. You have money. Assuming that you know the way children are. You know children. When they are small. Uncle will come. That's them 1,000 naira. Who collects it? Mommy. Thank you very much. What does she do? She keeps it for them. Good. Then, auntie comes. That's them 2,000 naira. Who collects it? Mommy. All right, good. Let us now assume that it's now time to pay school fees. Would that child accept that you should take from that money to pay school fees? No. No, you said check out. You go agree? That money is not to be used for your responsibilities. That's the way I treated my heavenly father too. You can say, this seed you gave, I will multiply it back. I said, Lord, wait, don't multiply it back. Use your own money. There's what is called the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that he was rich. For my sake, he became poor. So that I, through his poverty, might be made. Use that one. Don't use the work that I'm doing. Don't use it. What's your name? El Shaddai. What does it mean? You have plenty. The milk not the finish. I know what it means. Why are you not taking from my own? Say, Heavenly Father, please, let's get this clear. Anything work I do that's good, store it for heaven. Don't bring it to the earth. On this earth, you have too much to give. Let's not go into my savings at all. How can uncle give me money? I keep it with you. My money is for ice cream. When you get my sweet. School fees is your money. I want to change my clothes, is your money. As well, those ones you are keeping for me, I don't even know what it is for. Just keep it. When VT was small that time, that's how I used to keep money. He gathered money. He was always gathering money. One day, I now asked him, all this money you are gathering, what do you want to do with it? The guy reasoned and reasoned and reasoned. Let's make a long story short. He had nothing to say. So finally, you know what he did? He went for a charity event. He now packed the whole money. When it was donation time, he too now went to the table and dropped his donation. I said, good. After gathering the money, I don't know for how long. No, because there was nothing. The money couldn't pay his school fees, couldn't pay. We're not even in Band A that time, but couldn't pay anything. Finally, I said, what will you now? The guy had to package the whole thing in an envelope. Donation time. He too went and dropped something for the less privileged. Are you getting my point? So stop asking God to reward you. The reward of the believer is not on this earth. The reward for your works is not on this earth. And don't even want it. Don't even want it. Don't even want it. Be content with serving. Be content with being used by God. Just be happy that my life is counting. God is finding me faithful. Please, do not preach or participate in any scam of you give up. God will double it. It doesn't do such things. So we should open somewhere, right? Yes, have we read it yet? Yes, Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. We're talking about the servant of God. And as I'm explaining to us that that's what we all are supposed to be as Christians. Now, it's the whole chapter that I should read as my main text. But because where I'm going is just a particular verse, I will jump here and there to save reading time. Shout for joy, that's verse 1, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. It said verse 4, I've jumped 2 verses now. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more, for your husband is your maker. Verse 6, for the Lord has called you, like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit. Verse 7, for a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. Now let's go to verse 9. For this is like the days of Noah to me when I swore. Now please, this is very important. This is like the days of Noah to me when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. Please let me pause for a moment here. I've seen preachers sit on this scripture to say God never rebukes Christians. It may seem like that, but I ask, is that the only verse in the whole Bible? If you judge yourselves, you will not be judged. When you are disciplined, if you are judged, you are disciplined by the Lord so that you will not perish, you will not be judged. How do you say again? You will not be condemned with the world. Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, far from chapter 1. Jesus introduced himself in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he began to deliver his rebuke to the churches. Habba. How can somebody now sit on this and say, God said, I will never rebuke you, that God never rebukes Christians, he does never disciplines them. A man sat down on this single verse. Now, anytime you see a verse that seems to contradict the rest of the scriptures, like I've given a few examples now, you immediately know that something is a bit out of context. If you read it in context properly, you will get the real thing. I studied this. I realized that this, you will see the answer at the end. Just bear it in mind. I will come and clarify this. God rebukes Christians. He disciplines them. And he said he does. All right? Now look at what he said in verse 11. Verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. Now please notice these promises, okay? The mountains may be moved and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And I began to bless. He said, O afflicted one, I will set your stones in antimony. That is, instead of bricks. This is what I'm going to use to set your foundation. Precious stones. I will make your battlements of rubies, gates of crystal, entire wall of precious stones. All your sons, now follow this. These are promises. All your sons will be taught of the Lord. And the well-being or prosperity of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. That is, you will be secure under a government that is just and fair. New Living Translation says, and you will be far from oppression, it will not come near you. And from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, I'm going to slow down here. I'm about to get to the climax. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. And such a person will fail or will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith which blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. I have created the destroyer to ruin. Now, I'm the one that does that. So now this is what I'm saying to you. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Now let me stop here before I read it. All the promises he was making to certain persons. True or false?
Yes, sir.
Then he described the person for us, or the kind of person that he was speaking with. The next line. What I have said so far is the heritage of who? The servants of the Lord. And their righteousness or the vindication is from me, declares the Lord. If you are serving the Lord, I will never have cause to rebuke you. That's what he was saying. I rebuke prodigal sons. I discipline them when they are prodigal. But you saw the elder brother. I did not rebuke him. I talked to him nicely. He said, you I have with me always, and all that I have is yours. That was what God said to the serving son. You want to claim these promises? You know, when I was younger, I was in school those days, because we started learning this word of faith on this sonship thing. And we sat on sons, 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 sons. We're so strong on sonship. Then we got to this place. Now, small aside. Please, small aside. Those days, and I want to just caution some of us here. Please, this is not supposed to be, I'm not running a critical review of anybody. We are trying to study the scriptures. Then when we were young, we were told that read the New Testament. That's what was written to you. And there are Christians who till today, that's all they read. They say most of their time should be spent there. Please, again, let me just tell you something. I don't have time to go into details. The whole Bible was written to you. Genesis was written for your learning. Exodus to Deuteronomy specifically was condensed so you could learn. Now, the gospel, you know, everything that happened to Jesus on the cross, only one person took time out to explain it and encapsulate it in one chapter. That's Isaiah. The life of Jesus on the cross made no sense if you did not read Isaiah 53. Isaiah was the one that brought life into it by his prophetic words. All of us scripture, you also find it. Basically, what am I going to say to you? Your life is written all over the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Some of the deepest scriptures you will read were written by Isaiah. Now that's my own. Some people find their own in Zephaniah. As Revelation hits you. Are you getting my point? Now, you say, what about the New Testament? Let me tell you, that is the decoding. The New Testament helps you to decode the prophets. How do I know? Go and read it. Romans chapter 1, Paul said it. I'm an apostle of the gospel that the prophets preached. The gospel was preached by the prophets, but they did not understand. So please, balance your doctrine well. Read everything. What did I say? Read everything. Read everything. It is important. Read everything. So back to what I was saying. So when we're young then, the question was, we are sons. We felt the promises were for sons. All that the Father has belongs to who? The sons. And he has made us sons of God. And we're told that the Old Testament belonged to servants. Now we are sons of God, so we have better promises. It's almost, for me now, because of the understanding I have now, it's almost comical. Almost comical. Just because of understanding. So we felt that, look, if the people that were serving had this kind of promises, those of us who are sons, we have what? Better promises. You want to hear the truth? I'll teach it to you today. Don't worry, we didn't know what we were saying. The truth is that this promise, no, before I tell you the truth, so when I got here, it was difficult for me that how do you claim the promise that he said specifically was for what? Servants. I will make your walls of precious stones. I will lay your foundation in antimony. Sapphires will be used to build your gates. Oh, man, they sounded nice. And he said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because I'm the one that makes the blacksmith. That brings out the weapons. Now I'm saying that no matter what they make, if it's against you, it will not work. Then he boldly clarified it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I look for all the Greek and Hebrew to twist that into sons of God. And God said, I didn't say sons. I said what? Servants. So my only consolation was that if this is what servants have, we sons have something better. Right now, I realize that Banky stopped that. This is the heritage of who? Servants. I finally understood it. Why? No matter the promises,
given to sons, they are only activated by service. No matter the promises given to sons, if they are not serving sons, their lives become prodigal. If you want the promises of sons to be real in your life, go and learn faith. Go and learn what?
Faith.
If you want the promises of sons to be real in your life, go and learn what?
Faith.
And what is faith? Faithfulness. That's what it is. There's what is called the spirit of faith. Let me say something again. Faith, as we know, real faith, is a natural... Now, listen to this. You know how God breathes to you the spirit of faith? Two ways. One major way by which he gives you the spirit of faith is revelation. Paul, to be saved, you have to believe, right? Who preached to Paul? Did he preach to him? Some said Jesus. He said they conversed. Okay, I like that. Who conversed? But how did Paul get the faith to be saved? His vision. The moment Jesus showed himself to Paul as being alive, there was nobody to make an altar call. Instantly, he realized the Son of God was alive. He received the Holy Spirit before he was baptized. Ananias came to him that he might recover his sight and that he may be filled with the Spirit. Ananias laid hands on him. His eyes opened. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they took him out and went and baptized him. The man didn't have any opportunity for, you want to give your life to Christ? Oh, tomorrow may be too late. That day was too late already if the guy did. But what brought faith to him? Revelation. Vision. God knows how to give you vision and revelation that brings faith. You see where I'm going? So, if there are promises, for you to claim them, you need what? Faith. Faith comes when God breathes the spirit of faith into you. Listen to me. God says to Isaiah, go and deaden their ears. Say to them, hear and don't understand. See, don't perceive. It's possible not to just have the spirit of faith. Who does he give the spirit of faith to? That's what I'm talking about. Only to servants. It's only to servants. So when you see sons bragging on their sonship rights, yet they do not have the spirit of faith because they are prodigal. They lose all their rights. You cannot have the faith to claim that thing if faithfulness as a servant is not found with you. It's not possible. You can't study the scriptures enough to have faith if God doesn't breathe into you the spirit of faith. You can't confess the scriptures enough to have faith if God does not breathe into you the spirit of faith. And I'm saying to you again today, all the blessings are reserved for sons who serve. That's the balance we didn't know. When I saw that Isaiah 54 as a young man, I said, how come it's for servants? God actually is saying, now listen to this. God was saying, Banky, it's not for servants, actually. It's for sons that serve. I know it's in Malachi like that. Open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3. Exactly what we are seeing here, more abridged, but well qualified. I'll start from verse 13, even though what I want is at the end of that chapter. But I'll jump. I just like to take in context. He said, your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Now this is what you said. It's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts. Now we call the arrogant blessed. And not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God. And nothing happens. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord gave attention and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who esteem his name. He said this. They will be mine. On the day that I prepare my own possession. Now listen to this. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. The blessing of the sons is given only to the son that does what?
that serves the Father. That's the balance. So that the one went on radio. I had to tell people, say, please, people should stop harassing Pastor Okemute. He preached the word of God to you, people didn't understand. You are servants of God, and if you are not, you are a prodigal son. Your sonship is useless. You are servants of God. Any Christian that's not a servant is a useless son. Do you get my point? And that's what I want to establish for us today. That Christianity is about serving God. He said, go and say to Moses, Israel is my son. He's my firstborn. Let my son go that he may do what? Serve me. If you don't, I'm going to kill your son. Fact is, we are saved to serve. Of course, this is nothing new. I believe many of us here know this doctrine. Why am I preaching it again today? What does it mean to serve? That's the point. I've just reestablished for us again. Please, go around not bragging on the fact that you are a child of God, but you are a child that serves the Father. And you know, in the scriptures, that thing is always been. See, Jesus gave a number of parables concerning it. You know the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to that now. A man has two sons. He said to the one, go and walk in the field today. He said, I will not go. Then after, he repented and he went. He said to that one, go. Now, the point is that, you see, who was he telling to go and walk? His sons. And when Paul was going to write about Timothy, he said, he has served with me in the course of this gospel as a son serving his father. I told you, the thing about sons is that their own service is different. My wife is blessed with, of course, grown children. And different ones work for her at different times. She gives them money as if they get paid. But they don't get paid. You should forget that. It's day and night. They carry her burdens on their head without thinking of what am I going to get? What matters is that it is mommy's work. What matters is that, let's use the scriptural way now, is my father's work. Sometimes I ask Akinlu, are you going to school? You say yes, because he's a master's student in UNEC. Then maybe in the afternoon, I go back by her mom's office and I see him there. I say, I thought you were going to school. He said, yes, we finished by 1. And you are here by 2. When you see him walk, sometimes you just wonder, like, in fact, if my wife would get a worker like that and pay twice what normal people are supposed to earn, she would do it. Why? Full commitment. Anything that spoils is his thing that spoils. Are you getting my point? Let me just say something to you again. That's why, pastors, stop preaching stupid doctrines. I'm begging all of you. Let God not punish you. Stop lying to people. Where are they? There's one at the back there. Where are they? Elder John, Jonah, Nduka. All those of you that preach, even if I didn't call your name, I'm warning you. I'm warning all of you. Steve-O. Stop preaching to Christians as if God has to bless them back for what they are doing. It's not good. It's not good. I've seen my children serve their mother. I don't promise my children anything. Daddy said it is all that matters. If to collect money from them, you people are evil. That priest like that. If you don't promise them, God will give you something back. They won't bring the money. Your people are not saved. They're not saved. That's why you need to promise before they bring money. You know me, you've known me long enough. You ever admit it? Look, I don't promise anybody anything. And you know one thing about me? You give heavy to kingdom is your problem, not mine. I don't owe you anything. One day some people used to walk with us, you know, one of them now has one issue or something. So, one of our guys, a radio man, he said, he now called Tall Reverend. He said, why don't you do kiniko, kiniko? You know, these are people who are supporting you. You can't say, come, sit down. Okay? Nobody's supporting us. Nobody. He said, we're all serving God. They owe me as much as I owe them. Both of us owe our Heavenly Father. I preach, you pay. It's your problem, not mine. If you don't want to pay, let me not use bad words. Get out. In case you do not know, I don't owe anybody broadcasting. The only thing I owe is what I'm doing. And right there, everything I'm saying is being recorded. If you pay for broadcast, you are blessing the people that are hearing me. You are not blessing me. I have done my work. I have recorded. I have made it available. I put it on my website and I walk away. God will not ask me, how many do you broadcast? How many do you preach? Were they true? How many? That is why, see, God, I give you the glory. Rich people don't impress me. If you like, say, Pastor Banky, you've been a blessing. I want to bless this ministry. You drop 100 million. You say, you and Pastor, you go chop now. It dropped me 50 million. Tomorrow, you come, you sit according to how you came. If you want to sit in front, come on time. And love the front, like this mama now. You know, they sit anywhere else. She doesn't want distraction. Because if you put her at the back, her husband won't let her pay attention. So, she comes to sit in front so that she'll be safe. I ain't giving you front seat. Honestly, God will punish me if I do. That's how I was trained by the Lord. That's how I was trained by the Lord. I ain't changing my message to make you happy. I'll preach what I want to preach. Carry your money and go somewhere else. You will not use your money to manipulate. Because you know you are not doing... I have never considered it a personal favor. I don't have the ability to consider it a personal favor. Because the most important tool that God gave me when this ministry started, they are not expensive. A microphone and a recorder. Until recently, we didn't even have this high-tech, you know, audio card and all of that. A simple Sony IC recorder was what we used to record 90% of the messages you listen to online. I used to record with a recorder in my pocket. A $20 pin-up mic on my chest. The recorder is $100. You hear it on radio. When I discovered Audacity, you would think I came out of a high-end studio. As far as I'm concerned, we're all serving God. You're not serving me. I don't care how much money you have to give. You're not serving me. That is why I'm not changing my sitting arrangement because of you. And listen to me. The amount of personal attention I will give you, all right, is tied to the amount of honor I get from you. It's not money. You can give me money and I don't perceive honor. Yes. A man gave me money. I told my wife, I won't tell him thank you. He said, why? I said, I want him to stop. I had my reasons. I said, I need him to stop. Something led to it. And what I said, well, I said, I don't perceive honor in it. I said, I don't perceive honor. I said, there is no honor in it. Just like to have many men of God that you give to. I didn't perceive honor in it. Look, I don't promise anybody anything. If you want to serve God, buckle your shoes and serve. Tighten your belt and serve. Let's teach Christians. Serving God is a privilege. That is the one that man and Yinka were talking about. Yinka said, hey, it just told him, man. He said, please, okay, let's get this straight. Nobody's helping anybody here. A lot of people don't know, in case you don't know, that's part of my attitude when I do some things. Some people just feel like, okay, if you just organize, put money together, you do that, you guys will come. I said, The men that are going with me and me, do you know how much investment of time away from our family you're talking about here? If I show up, you should be rolling on the ground. Say, oh, guy, you came. Don't expect me to be saying, ah, you spent money. Do you know what I spent to show? Ask my wife. I don't like her going away or me going away from the... No, some people did. I've told my children, thank God, I have only one girl. And even if I have 10 girls, all these Omugwo women are doing, my wife is not going to do. See, when you and your husband were married, I did you a favor. I'm not paying more. This is modern day. Go and hire a nurse. Who will be Omugwo-ing me when... all kind of... is it? Mercy. And that's why I say go and pay a professional. Carry a man's wife away for 3 months. You are wicked. See, I have only one wife. I ain't got two. Do you get my point? Because you're born picking now. My life will now come to an end. 3 whole months. Some women, people are very wicked. You go from one daughter number one born, you go Omugwo 2 months. As that one they mature, the other one born, you go. The husband is looking at all of you. No wahala. Which blessings? That the man should have his wife with God's blessings. They are in their homes, they are not around my table. They should come to their house. What are you talking about? Me? When I who's going to preach here? All of you are not serious at all. Huh? I'll come for Kaduna to come and preach. All right. You and your husband should bring the private jet. It's okay. We'll go do like that. Where I'm going, listen, brethren, by the time I leave my home to go somewhere, I'm sacrificing more than you that brought money. And that's my attitude. It shows in my body. If you see me, this man of God is not grateful. You know why? Because I am not. Because I am not grateful. In case you did not know it now. I am not grateful. Am I your God? Am I the one you are serving? If I'm grateful for you, you two should be grateful to me. Two of us will be grateful to each other. Grateful party. They will not carry our gratitude and give to who it belongs, which is the Lord. Tell you the truth, though. Serving God is a privilege. It's a privilege. You are serving the Lord. It's a privilege. You should be, you know, it's a privilege. Say, God, you actually accepted my service. Oh, Lord, thank you. I was warning pastors, preach like this to people. And they will serve with gladness. And if they don't want to serve, they should do what? Get out. They should get out in Jesus' name. Some of you'll be rewarding people with title. God will soon punish you. I'm warning all of you. You'll be rewarded with title because so that they will not go away. I won't give you title. If you want to go, go. If you go, you will die. I don't give you any title. Even when you are told what to preach. If you are, see, old prophet will soon kill you. Shouldn't have been telling you. I've been warning all of you, young prophets. You'll be using your destiny, jeopardizing your life. God will bear with you for a while. After a while, he said, if you talk nonsense, he'll kill you there. If you open that mouth, if that mouth opens and you talk rubbish there, you won't go home. You make up your mind whose wrath you want to face. The wrath of bishop or the wrath of God. It's okay for a while. You're going to preach rubbish. God's going to look. You say, it's mindful, but you have both flesh. Boy, 2 years now, you don't talk nonsense. One of those of you follow. One day I went to somewhere. One young man was getting married. He's a pastor. As I was praying for him, a spirit came upon me, a thought. To pray for life for him so that old prophet won't kill him. So I said, if I say that, they would think I'm prophesying, I'm speaking to them in parable. I continued praying. After a while, I said, okay, you look for trouble for yourself, Abby. When they put this judgment on your head, what will you say? Now, okay, pray. In Jesus' name, old prophet will not mislead you. My spirit was calm. Young people are following old prophets and disappearing from their destiny. You don't have all the time. Look, listen. Hunger no go kill you. But God can kill. God said, don't fear even the thing that can kill the flesh. Fear him. That after killing the flesh, he carries the soul and throws it into Hades. Serving God is a privilege. Serving God is a privilege. If God gives you money to give to the gospel, don't expect any recognition or special favor. What you just need as a man with money, as a woman with money, is a little bit of discretion so that you'll be sure that you put money where it's properly spent. Because that's your responsibility. I don't mean to be monitoring people, though. Pastor, I want to see annual report for last year. That's not what I mean. Do you get my point? Don't be a controlling person. It's just that if you are giving money and they're using it to preach lies and sponsoring false crusades and doing fake miracles, if you put money there again, you share the judgment. That's what I mean. It's just that kind of discretion. That's what I'm talking about. But don't expect, don't demand recognition. Don't. If you are working for God, you are working for God. Leave it like that. And it's a privilege. Like I was saying, every Christian, so let me end my message. We are supposed to be what? Servants. We are called to be servants. The promises are activated through faithfulness, which is the same thing as faith. And real faith is not given except by revelation. It's a spirit of faith. It's as you are serving God that that spirit is given. Then you can activate the promises in your life. You can't use Ogboju. You know what they call Ogboju? Stubborn heart to draw faith down. No. It's a spirit that God gives. And the spirit is given only to faithful people who are following the will of God for their lives. Let me introduce the next thing I want to talk about. What does it really mean to serve? To serve means to follow instructions. That's how we serve God. It's to follow his instructions. It doesn't mean to do what we think is good in our sight for him. Uzzah died because David did what he thought was good in his own sight for the Lord. He bought a new vehicle to carry the ark of God. God said, carry it on the shoulders of priests, of the Levites. He refused. And Uzzah died for that. The death of Uzzah is another story. But it is not just doing that which you think you like to do. For example, if you're not called to be pastor of a church, if they promote you to one, you are in jeopardy. Those of you who have money, be very careful. Your money can mislead you. There are people, places I go to, they say, this man is a pastor. I look like he's a pastor. Before, I used to think I was just a suspicious person. Now I realize that Kelly is a discerning spirit. Yeah, because I used to wonder. But later I realized that some of the things I knew, many people didn't know them. And they're like, it's not obvious to all of you. Oh, and then finally calm down. Okay, it's a discerning spirit. Just say, this one is a pastor. How? Then later on, you realize that he's a faithful giver. There's been promoted. See, this thing is not by promotion. So that you are called and graced to do it, or you're not. You shouldn't look for recognition. If God gives you a job and it keeps you at the back of your assembly, don't feel bad. The young man joins the church 10 years after you. Within 3 years, he's already preaching. And you have never even preached. This pastor discriminates. No, he doesn't discriminate. He recognizes grace. Preaching is not hierarchy. Because you are anointed to preach does not mean you have the most authority in that church. In there are churches that just like, look, you can be there. The elder, the most powerful elder, the who has more anointing than anybody else is not a preacher. It's an administrator. And he will call council meeting and sack you. as anointed as you are, and God will bless him. Some people don't know it's possible. So this pastor that came here about 6 years ago, I think he's going mental. We call the elders, they will vote and tell you to get out. And look, I'm the apostle. You are not an apostle. That guy is more apostolic than you. It's just that he doesn't preach. When John takes time out to write to a man like Gaius, you should ask yourself why. What does it mean to serve? It's to follow instructions. It's to follow divine order. It's to recognize that your life is not your own. Even when you want to marry yourself, making a choice, yes. When you're moving from one city to the other, it's a matter of serving God. Because you can't flourish in the city God has not planted you. Some of you pack your bag, move from one place to the other, you just moved into trouble. You don't know people can pack. Demas, you know, there's a Demas spirit. I've been warning Christians, before you pack your bag, pray extra. Just pack your bag, move from one city to another, one country to another. It's not something you do lightly. You will travel, you will groan.
Father, know your will, oh God, they show God more than another.
If it's not clear, you're not moving. Remember, every small change in salary, they don't jump. Once they hear, hey, Boko Haram invaded one village, 25 kilometers from Enugu, they have moved to Asaba. You're running up and down. You don't know. See, we'll talk about fear along the line. When fear comes, it's allowed to come. Fear is like pain. It brings your attention. But solution is what the issue now is. When fear comes, go and pray. You don't take actions because of fear. You go and pray. Lord, this matter is up. What do we do? God, see, our lives as believers is active. God is with us. We'll tell you through revelation, different ways. Stay there. There are times you say, yes, get up and leave. That's different things. But his service is obeying what the Lord instructed. And you knowing, very important. In fact, let me just rush through it. You knowing ahead of time, that ahead of time, he had a plan. You knowing that ahead of time, he had a purpose. That's what service is. That day I told you, I wrote, after I heard that news, I began to meditate, and that's when it just came upon me to go on this, on this road again and teach. Seven things I put down that are predetermined that we're supposed to walk in and walk towards. But as a predetermined purpose for your existence, what you're supposed to achieve on this earth and do for him. Do you know, number two, he has a predetermined place or places of abode. It's not everywhere you belong. You have to try and decipher and discern where is your own place. He has a predetermined timing for everything. Your desire should be to walk in that predetermined timing. Number four, he has a predetermined spouse. Don't just fall in love anyhow. Anything you fall inside is bad. It's fall. When you fall, what do? You get up. You open your eyes, calm your emotions down, and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Number five, he has predetermined achievements, which is tied to purpose earlier that I mentioned. This will surprise many people. He has a predetermined length of life. There's no story. John is not even beyond that 30-something. If Simeon like, may go hang. You know, die. The rope will cut. You think you can just die easily? Just wake up and say, I want to die. If God says no, you are not. One man, I read a joke. He was hanging himself. Somebody was walking by. I saw a man hanging by a tree, from a tree, on a rope, and the rope was around his waist. So what are you doing? Say, I'm committing suicide. Say, why didn't you hang it around your neck? Eh? He said, last time I tried, I almost died. God has a predetermined length of life. And then he has predetermined reward. Paul said it. What remains for me now is what? The crown of righteousness that God has ordained, not only for me, but for all those who have loved his coming, his appearing. The emphasis in these seven things. Somebody else may preach and make his own 10 or 4. But at the end of the day, we are saying about the same thing. But these seven things I just wrote down that day. So the emphasis is that they are predetermined. And a servant would desire to walk in it or walk in them. He said, blessed is that servant who the master finds so doing. There is a doing that goes with being a servant. There are things that servants are supposed to do. What I want to teach is along these lines, to let us know that it is not every, you don't just wake up and give yourself a purpose. You're a servant of God. No, it's not allowed. There's something I say a number of times. I've seen it quite, you know, a bit. Once people are rich, they start a ministry. You know that? Rich. When they have plenty of money, they start a ministry. Let me just drop this for people like that. Giving is a ministry. You don't have to be a preacher by force just because, you know, there's some money is dangerous. So. Oh, it's dangerous. Let me tell you, money is dangerous. I'll tell you why it's dangerous. When I first went on air, on TV, we use all the ingenuity in our hearts to get things done. So you see, when you don't have money, it's very difficult to go and do things God didn't send you to do. It's very hard. There are things that money will not allow you to suffer. Say, the God call us to this place. It doesn't matter. Buy the whole place first. You know, money calls people to ministry. You just start a television program because you can pay for airtime. You don't have what to do with money. I've seen people like that. Just look and say, this man, are you sure this guy is called to ministry? He just has money. Man and woman, it's not only men that do it. Women do it. Too much money, they just take title. Apostle Mrs. Be very careful when you are using food to drag people. Once they know when they come for your program, they go see food. Don't think you are called. Jesus did not use food. So he fed them. They didn't know they were going to be fed. Next time they came because of food, he drove them away. Yeah, you know, he fed them. They said, Omo, see food. So next time they came, Master, where are you? He said, you seek me, not because of miracles, but because you ate food. He said, don't labor for food that perishes. Many of us gather people with food that perishes. True. The fact that you have money, you can fund anything, doesn't mean you are called to do it. Even if you have the passion for it. See, even people of the world, they have sense. What is his name? Warren Buffett. He was one of the world's richest men. Many times he was number one. He used to change it with about two other people. Him, Bill Gates, and one or two other people just used to struggle for who's one, two, three, one, two, three. Yet one day he took 85% of all the money he had. That time he was the second or third richest man in the world. And gave to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. What was his reason? I watched him be interviewed, he and Bill Gates, about it. He said he realized that giving out money is as difficult as making money. That he has the skill for making, doesn't have the skill for giving. Yeah, he said it. He said it's intensive, it takes a lot of manpower, a lot of reasoning. He said, I don't have it. He said, I found a man that has it. So he took the whole money, 85%. No, imagine, I can't remember the exact word, but at that time it was worth like maybe $100 billion. He took $85 billion of all the money he had and pushed into the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So this is what they know how to give money. They know how to help the poor. I don't know how to do it. So let me give them the money. Go and do it. Because he was amongst those who don't want to die rich. Yeah. They believe that while they are living, all their money must be given out. They settle their children. They are not leaving inheritance for anybody. One of them says it's a great disservice to leave such amounts of money for children. So you are not helping them. So while they are alive, they take good care of you. Make sure you're educated. You can run your own business. They dash everything you want. Once daddy dies, just know that you ain't getting a dime. He didn't leave a dime. Has willed it out. But the man had enough sense to do that. So what I would do, just say, I'm starting my own foundation. The man said, hey, it's too much work. That's why he did what he did. So don't let money call you to ministry. That's the point I'm making. Don't let money call you to ministry. Don't let money call you to ministry by force, just because you can afford to rent a hall anytime you want. Before they mention one new type of microphone, you don't buy them. You don't know what to do with it too. Everybody has a calling. Giving is a ministry. It's a calling. God calls some people to give. There's a giving ministry. It exists. There's a serving ministry. Yeah. Which is what Bethel Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. Billy Akoni is not in Boku because he loves Boku. It's because God said to him, this is the place you will do ministry from. There's a place that God appointed. Be honest with you, I'm not in Enugu because I love Enugu. I love Enugu. I must say I don't. But that's not why I came. I couldn't love it before. I didn't know it. There's one man, I've forgotten his name. While he was abroad, he was, I think, American or British. He used to dream of the Yagba people in which state? In Kogi. Yeah, okay. Is that your area? You don't know the man's name? Oh, just like Elton. He came around that same time. He dreamt of them from back home. Dreamt of their name. He came to Nigeria to locate the community. And that was where he lived his life and did his ministry. Even location. So I've been warning those young people, don't just be jumping up and down. And then they give you visa, you jump to the place. It's not every open door that's an open door. Like they say, many of them are what? Traps. Every trap has an open door. Go and ask the rat that died there. They are diversion doors. They are diversion doors. Many things that just open for you is a diversion. Don't fulfill your ministry. Many preachers these days, they've been diverted into motivational speaking and business training. Because see, I did hear they swear, they preach. At the end of the day, pastor, thank you. Look, I'll open a bottle of Coke, mix it with water and give me to drink at the go house. Those who do training for companies. As at 7 years ago, they were already charging $1 million a day. I wonder how much they collect now. I've seen pastors say, is this not what I've been doing for free? Now they join. Yeah. Yes. Say, this same thing that I've been doing for free. And let me tell you, I told you that you are not dealing with emptiness, you are dealing with orchestrated diversions. Say, give him money, he will come. Satan will say, give him money, he will come. There's one guy I know, it's a comedian now, stupid guy. See, in my life, I've been in meetings. See, I've been going to church since I was in secondary school. I've been going to church. When I say church, anointed services, where they brought scriptures and taught us. All my days in the University of Benin, all I did was go to church. I was a campus fellowship president. There's never a season in my life I wasn't going to church since that time. Yet, I'm telling you, if I put 5 services, most anointed that I've been in, one man, I won't mention his name here, was one that preached one of them, this Enugu. Alright? If I count on one hand, the top 5 meetings I was in my life, this guy's one will be one of them. A Sunday service. This guy preached, you could feel the anointing in the air. Without him saying anything, people would crawl to go and fall on the altar to pray. When he was leaving, they literally carried him. I came out to see him. He had gone. They said they needed to take him to his hotel so he could lie down. My younger brother was with me at that time. I called him. I put money in an envelope. I wrote a note. Go and look for that man in his hotel and give him for me. I wrote a note for him, something. Heavily anointed. Yet right now, it's a comedian wearing earring with hair, colored hair. Cracking stupid jokes. I saw him. I said, a cupboard. He started hanging. Of course. You go and crack some stupid jokes in one day. Give you 10 million naira. Nobody's giving you 10 million naira. Come and preach good word. Daddy, how much? Me, that's why I sent him money. How much did I put in an envelope? So if you can enter envelope, it's not plenty. I sent him a note. I was so blessed. I see him once in a while talking. Just shake my head. The gifts and callings of God are not, they are without repentance. I know God didn't uncall him. You can't tell me this one is now your ministry. I won't agree. Paul said, Demas has departed from me. There's a reason why you departed, my friend. There's a reason. Oh, let me end my message. We have another program to go to. What have I tried to say? Just bear it in mind. If you're a servant of God, you don't belong to yourself. There are things he determined you must fulfill. There are things he determined you must fulfill. There are things he determined you must fulfill. And that's what you should be pursuing. Bow your heads and just say, Father, thank you for today.